Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Hi, everyone. Today we are talking about maybe a timely subject, given what we're all going through right now. A lot of us are sticking around inside in our homes. Our routines are thrown off. Today, Dr. Lisa and I want to talk about how not to gain weight during challenging times, you know, like, for example, a pandemic. You know, life can sometimes get in the way. There can be just stuff that's happening in our lives that has a big impact on us. And, you know, definitely weight is one of them. And, you know, we're going to be talking about this for a few episodes. But today we really want to look at some of the impact of hormones on your weight and your metabolism, because, you know, weight gain isn't just a normal function of aging. And it's not even just about the idea of eating less, exercising more. If it was just calories in, calories out, we would have this thing, you know, figured out. But even, you know, in research studies over, you know, they did a study in the UK over 9 years where, you know, the probability of really achieving a normal weight with eating less and exercising more was very low, you know, less than 1% of where that was, you know, actually achieved. So, you know, we're in this together. So today we just want to kind of do a little bit of a dive into some of the hormones that does impact our weight and metabolism, how we can really figure out what hormones may be impacting you and what you can do about it. You know, first to start off with, I think one of the most important key hormones that we need to talk about when it comes to weight and weight gain is insulin. Insulin is really important for maintaining a proper blood sugar balance. And when we are eating more sugar than really higher amounts of really simple sugars that are quickly released into the bloodstream, then our body has to respond because our body likes to maintain that balance. So insulin is released by the pancreas to take that blood sugar and to get it, to get it out of circulation, and it puts it into fat stores. So that's, you know, being a fat storing hormone, we really need to get that insulin managed and our blood sugar balance managed as well when it comes to weight. You know, especially when we're dealing with other issues in our life, sometimes that's a little bit challenging. But one of the first things to really look at is, you know, your balance of your macronutrients. You're making sure that you're getting enough protein, enough fat, enough of the complex carbohydrates as well to slow down that release of sugar into your bloodstream, as well as really avoiding an excessive amount of those simple carbs. Lisa, is there any other, what other things can really help to support the blood sugar balance?
For sure. Well, I always think of, you know, what's the first meal of the day that you're having? People reach for cereal that can be laden with even, you know, natural sugars like maple syrup or honey, or they're getting yogurt with a lot of sugar and fruit, which still has an insulin effect. So a lot of people are setting up their blood sugar in a bad way first thing in the morning. So you really want to ensure you're getting enough protein with your breakfast, have some healthy fat with some eggs, if you can tolerate eggs, some avocado, limiting the carbs and the sugars with breakfast can really get your body into more fat burning zone, if you will. Because every time you eat those carbohydrates or sugars, yes, like Dr. Tony said, the insulin is going to be released. Other things other than diet also impact insulin, but we should also mention alcohol too, because that's a big trigger for insulin release, especially if you're having that on an empty stomach without the food, the protein, the fat to balance that blood sugar raising effect. So definitely two major things you can do to balance insulin. Start your day off with a lot of protein. I usually tell people about 20 grams with your breakfast. So that might look like two or three eggs. That might look like a protein smoothie, but being careful about the fruit in there, especially the banana. You might use avocado to thicken up your smoothie. And then if you're going to have alcohol, setting limits. So saying, I'm only going to have alcohol, you know, Friday, Saturday night, I'm going to limit it to two drinks and make sure I have it with my dinner. I think right now, a lot of people are reaching for a lot more sugar, a lot more carbs, more comfort food, and more alcohol. So that, you know, it can give you a temporary feel good effect, but that will contribute to weight gain over the long term. So I'm not saying cut it all out, but if you can really set some limits around it. So I'm only going to have chocolate on the weekends. I'm only going to drink those two alcoholic drinks twice a week. Tony, do you have anything to add about that or any other strategies?
That's so key, you know, especially, you know, really setting yourself up well in the morning. And when you talk about even breakfast, I think about what is even happening before breakfast, really getting into getting a good, adequate quality and quantity of sleep is so, so key when it comes to whether we're reaching for, you know, things that are sugar laden or getting sweets in the morning and later on in the day as well.
Definitely. Because yeah, not only do we want that sugar, the carbohydrates for that quick boost of energy, so we're going to crave the quickest source, but we're going to release we're going to release more of the hormone called ghrelin, which makes us actually feel hungry. So if we don't get enough sleep, we're just going to feel hungrier and we're going to want more sugary, carb-laden foods too. And then sleep will definitely, if you're not getting enough, you'll release more cortisol the next day, and we'll get into the effect of cortisol on weight gain just in, you know, a few minutes, but that's really going to impact your ability to lose weight and contribute to weight gain, especially in the midsection.
For sure. Another really key piece when it comes to blood sugar balance is moving our body, using our muscles, getting exercise. And that can really help to reduce that blood sugar in a really healthy way and really prevent our insulin or really helps our insulin to really work properly, really helping to prevent problems with insulin resistance down the road as well. Moving your body, physical activity and exercise can be challenging when your routine is totally messed up, and even when you can't necessarily do the same activities that maybe you're used to doing. Thankfully, that there's a lot of other resources out there. There's some really fantastic online resources that you can kind of look at to whether it's, again, yoga or whether it's other workouts that can move your body in a really, really fun and effective way.
For sure. Yeah, I know people can't get out to their gym to see their trainer, but so many trainers and gyms and yoga studios are offering free online courses or maybe with a small fee, which is, you know, totally worth it. And I do use a lot of online workouts. So I'll start my day, I'll get up really early at about 5:30 and do a 20-30 minute workout followed by 10 to 15 minutes of yoga and stretching. And some of my favorites, although you need to make sure the exercises and movements are safe for you if you have any injuries, but Heather Robertson has a great YouTube channel and she has a variety of workouts. There is like Yoga Glow is a great website too. yogaglo.com. That's a paid site for yoga classes, but a lot of people like Yoga with Adrienne. She has her own YouTube channel as well, so we can link to some of these options. And then just going for a walk after you eat, that makes people who look pre-diabetic on blood tests, they can appear normal. So when you're walking and using your muscles after eating, you don't want to do a hardcore workout, but going for a nice walk after lunch or dinner or breakfast can really help to lower your insulin and glucose levels and stop you getting in that fat storing mode. So even 10 minutes, or go up and down the stairs, for put a timer on 5-10 minutes, go up and down the stairs, walk around the house, just getting in what we call exercise snacks. So small pieces here and there. You might drop down and do 20 push-ups, you know, before you have lunch. It could look like something like that. But Tony, how are you getting in exercise and staying active right now?
Yeah, you know, really trying to do some really appropriate walks around outside, around the neighborhood. I just that idea of kind of getting the benefits of the sunshine for our mental health as well is important. And again, you know, short little dance parties in the house, sometimes by myself, but oftentimes
love
with
it.
Frankie.
Yeah, great for the kids to burn off energy, right? And having little
Absolutely.
Ones, you could use them as a weight. You can, you know, I try to get Stuart to do a bit of yoga or act like various animals and walk around like them. So shoveling in the backyard. There's so many things you can do.
For sure. You know, I have been carrying Frankie around a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, this is my upper body workout for right now. So
I know being a mom to young ones is actually a lot of physical work.
Yeah,
so take that, use that to your advantage right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Really using play as a way to use your body.
For sure.
Really key.
Yeah,
sure.
Put some fun into it. Like, don't do something you hate. You know, do a Zumba class online, have the dance party, like Tony mentioned, but make it something that gives you joy too and is going to fill you up during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then when we are just mentioning kind of insulin and blood sugar balance, there are so many of our other hormones are impacted by insulin, and there's a number of other hormones that are really key when we're talking about our weight and our metabolism.
Definitely. So if our insulin is being secreted in high levels, that can impact our estrogen levels. We won't get into the nitty gritty of why, but you can have what's called an estrogen dominance. And that can show up as difficulty losing weight kind of in the hip area. And then obviously a lot of hormonal challenges. Could be endometriosis, fibroids, PMS, PCOS, fertility challenges. So insulin can impact especially that estrogen. And Dr. Tony's going to talk about some ways to, you know, detox from excess estrogens. But that's one key hormone to balance. But then a major one when we think about weight is thyroid. So the thyroid gland is found in our neck, and that governs our metabolism, our body temperature, our energy levels. So if your thyroid's underfunctioning, and that's called hypothyroid, you're not only going to have slower metabolism, but you're going to feel sluggish and tired. And usually in those cases, you reach for sugar, for carbohydrates, for a quick burst of energy, and that can contribute to weight gain. And then you're tired, you might not be motivated to exercise, you don't make energy as well as other people, so you just might not benefit from the exercise or be just totally depleted from it. So we really want to ensure your thyroid levels or hormone levels are balanced, and we'll talk about testing in a few minutes. But things that can slow the thyroid are synthetic estrogens, so things found like in the birth control pill or even from our environment, the xenoestrogens too. These contribute to estrogen dominant effects and can slow your thyroid. So I see so many people come to me who've been on the birth control pill for a while with the synthetic estrogen, and then their thyroid starts to slow down. And as they get older, they're gaining weight year over year at a consistent basis. So we're not telling you to get off your birth control. You have to talk to your healthcare provider for alternates, but just be aware it can slow your thyroid for sure.
Yeah, as much as there's some, the birth control pill has really made the lives of women just so much different than, you know, our parents and previous generations. You still have to kind of look at the impact on our bodies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to weigh the benefits, the pros and the cons, and see what's right for you. And there's things you can do if you're on the birth control pill to replace any nutrients that are depleted from being on it to help your body handle it better and have less side effects. So talk to your naturopathic doctor about that.
For sure. And then there's another hormone that impacts our weight and metabolism that we don't often think about as women, and that's testosterone. You know, so often we think testosterone is a men's hormone, or it really is a male dominant hormone. But as women, we need a certain amount of testosterone as well. And if you don't have enough testosterone or have a lower level, then that can absolutely impact your metabolism and your energy and how you feel. You know, testosterone is really key for making sure that we are still able to build muscle and support our muscle mass. Our muscle is our metabolically active tissue. It helps to burn calories. Especially as we age, we really want to make sure that, you know, that we are able to really support that muscle mass. And so strength training, building muscle, you know, exercise is really important, but we really have to watch out that, you know, there can be a detriment to over-exercise, especially, you know, a focus on kind of too much cardio and not enough strength training. So that's definitely something to kind of be aware of too, when it comes to weight and metabolism.
Yeah, when we're saying strength training, we're not saying, you know, go to the gym and use like 100-pound barbell and do a couple of repetitions. You can even be using your body weight in terms of push-ups, lunges, squats, you know, different types of yoga moves you can do, using light free weights. So while you might get in a cardio workout, but maintaining your muscle mass and testosterone levels are definitely key. And if you have low testosterone, you're going to have low libido. So that can be a sign that your testosterone levels could be declining too.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of women are concerned about not wanting to bulk up too much, but it's not necessarily about, you know, bulking up and creating a whole bunch of muscle mass, but even just increasing it a small amount can make a huge difference.
And for sure, yet especially as we age, getting more into like menopause and when estrogen drops, but then our bone density goes down, and testosterone is a key hormone as well as estrogen for keeping our bones nice and strong. And the stronger your muscles are, the stronger your bones are. So start with the strength training as young as you can to help prevent osteoporosis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tony, another hormone that I think a lot of us probably have through the roof right now is cortisol. So our world has been turned upside down. You know, we're trying to adjust to a new normal. Everything's heightened. So we're in our house. We can't get out as much. We're with our partners, with our kids. So cortisol, the stress hormone, is probably just going through the roof. And you might notice you're getting sleep issues. You might be getting more digestive issues, headaches, muscle tension. But cortisol will definitely impact our ability to lose weight. So when our cortisol is high, we basically store fat in the midsection. So that can happen around the waist area. And then when our cortisol is high, we mentioned how that can impact our hunger too. So we're going to be craving more carbohydrates, more sweets. We secrete more of that ghrelin, that hormone that makes us feel hungry. And we actually secrete less serotonin, the happy hormone. So then that also contributes to food and carb cravings, because we might get a temporary boost in serotonin from those foods that we view as rewards. So we might have more intense cravings for foods that give us that boost. But you can actually get a boost in serotonin and dopamine, the reward hormone, from doing an activity you love too. So yeah, you're going to have strong cravings for your comfort foods, but instead of reaching reaching for those? You know, is it talking to a friend that's going to make you feel better? Is it sitting down and actually just enjoying a cup of tea and reading, you know, 10 pages of a book that you're so excited to get through? But having these other coping strategies and ways to reduce cortisol, because if you're watching the news all the time, you're going to get into that fight or flight. Things seem to be spiraling out of control. So the previous episode, we talked about limiting your exposure to media as well, and then having your outlets for reducing cortisol is key.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, if having this extra stress and extra cortisol is increasing our carb cravings, and then we, you know, cave into those carb cravings and are increasing our blood sugar, and then our insulin comes up. You know, it's all of these hormones are connected. So it really is about having, you know, great coping mechanisms and really looking at what exactly we're feeling and experiencing, and again, taking a moment to have some really healthy coping mechanisms as well.
For sure.
Another piece of gaining weight that has been really looked at more in research over the past few years is how different chemicals and toxins in our environment actually has us gain weight. So much so that scientists have coined the term obesogens for some of these chemicals that have us gain weight. They can really disrupt our hormone balance and cause more issues with insulin and insulin resistance that has us hold on to weight. Again, it's not about calories in and calories out. It's about these chemicals that can interfere with just our proper metabolic processes. And it's unfortunately things like flame retardants, components in plastic like phthalates. A huge piece is also how our body deals with bisphenol A or BPA in our plastics. So that's really about looking at making sure that the products in our house, the products that we're putting on our bodies, on our skin, and what's in contact with our food, isn't you know, creating a huge hill for us to be climbing up. So definitely some things to do that we've talked about before with our hormone hacks is, you know, looking at the Dirty Dozen list, the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen list of fruit and vegetables that have higher amounts of pesticide residues. The David Suzuki Foundation has the Dirty Dozen list for chemicals and personal care products. Doing the most you can to eat organic, avoid plastics, use more glass, use more silicone, use more stainless steel. Those are some steps to take, you know, and unfortunately, hopefully research is really going to show a way that we can really reverse some of these effects, because unfortunately it didn't necessarily just start with you. It's kind of what your mother was in contact with, your grandmother was in contact with, and this is definitely impacting even our kids' metabolism as well.
I know, it's pretty scary. It's like, you know, it's amazing that all of these factors are impacting weight gain. It's like obvious then that why obesity is rising, right? So 64% of Canadian adults are overweight or obese, and 30% of children age 5 to 17 are overweight or obese. All of these factors, that is basically how we live this day and age, has set us up for weight gain. So it sounds, you know, pretty overwhelming, but we can start to take control of one thing at a time, and then even look at getting some testing done to see where your blood sugar levels are, where your insulin, where your hormone levels are, and then meeting one-to-one with your naturopathic doctor to come up with a strategic plan to then get your hormones and blood sugars back in balance to set you up for weight loss, and even to help you with naturally detoxifying from these obesogens. So Dr. Tony, did you want to talk about what tests you like to order for checking for some of these imbalances?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to kind of see, okay, what are the factors that are impacting you? Because it's going to be different for each person. There can be some common things that we're looking at. When it comes to thyroid and blood sugar, there can be some simple blood tests that a naturopathic doctor can order, or even family doctor can order. Sometimes as naturopathic doctors, we just look a little bit deeper and a little bit differently in terms of making sure that you're reaching optimal levels. So with testing for proper thyroid function, not just looking at the thyroid stimulating hormone or the TSH, but also looking at your free T4 and your free T3. And when it comes to making sure you have a proper blood sugar balance, we can look at the hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of blood sugar over 3 months. But it's also nice, I really like to look at both fasting glucose and fasting insulin to see, is that insulin resistance kind of creeping up before it's really showing any issues on the hemoglobin A1C. Another fantastic resource is a specialized lab test called the Dutch hormone test that I'm sure that we've talked about in other episodes. It's a dried urine test that is really comprehensive, looking at, cortisol outputs, your estrogen, your testosterone, your progesterone, looking at how your body's breaking it down. And especially when, there can be some challenges right now when it comes to going to see a medical doctor or a naturopathic doctor right now. So something like the Dutch test is great because it is a test that you do in the comfort of your own home. So, either getting arranging to get a kit mailed to you or picking it up safely from your naturopathic doctor's office is an option, so that you can do that testing and get that done. Another option, not necessarily going to the lab to get your blood drawn, but there are many people who do have a home glucometer where they are testing their blood sugar on a regular basis. So this may be something that a lot of us may want to start looking at, going out, getting a glucometer for your home, so that maybe you're not testing yourself, every day, but picking a couple of days where you're eating your typical foods, and then seeing how does this food actually impact my blood sugar? How much is it spiking? How much does certain exercise really help to maintain that balance? So those are some ideas of just getting a sense of how we can figure out what is actually going on and what we need to target for your weight and your metabolism.
Mm-hmm. I think those are some great tests, Tony. Yeah, these are good to get done because then your treatment plan can be individualized. And I really like the idea. I think down the road, we're probably all going to be testing our blood sugars, 2 hours after certain meals, and seeing how the impact of a poor night's sleep or not exercising that day really impacts our blood sugar, which means then our insulin's high and our body's going to be in more fat storing mode that day. I think that's going to be a key component down the road, and then getting these comprehensive tests done. And I know some of the labs here are shipping test kits, like for the Dutch test, the urine comprehensive hormone test, directly to patients. And then depending on, and the good thing about the Dutch test, which I'll bring up, is you're actually measuring hormone levels at different times of the day. So dinner time, bedtime, if you wake in the middle of the night to pee, morning, and then 2 hours after you wake up. So you're getting a full picture of what's going on over an extended time period, whereas blood tests can just be a snapshot in time. But doing the Dutch test, then you can collect the urine at home, and then you can even freeze the urine strips, or there still may be shipping to send it to the labs, and the labs still appear to be open at this point. So we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great option, especially to really get a sense of what's going on for you, especially because we all have our individual biochemistry, our individual genetics, which then rules kind of what is the best plan for each of us too. So just really looking at gaining that information can give you the best plan to move forward. In general, some of the things that I definitely think about when it comes to really helping to support hormone balance is looking at supporting our liver detoxification, especially when we're talking about some of that estrogen dominance. And that also involves, you know, our microbiome or the good bacteria along our digestive tract. So we want to do things that not only supports our liver function and reduces kind of the garbage that our liver has to deal with, but what also really supports the proper bacterial balance in our digestive tract and helps to feed that healthy bacteria. So definitely certain amount of fiber will really help to support that, reducing simple sugars and carbohydrates, avoiding certain additives, preservatives, artificial sweeteners that can throw off that balance. There's even research being done on a compound called sulforaphane from broccoli sprouts. In an animal study, giving animals sulforaphane resulted in less weight gain, and they also had a better blood sugar balance and reduced any kind of fatty liver from building up. So again, it's about, you know, eating those healthy cruciferous veggies, eating the things that we know helps to support the liver to function better.
Definitely all great tips. So yeah, the healthy diet, getting in broccoli sprouts wherever possible, supporting detoxification, you know, not drinking a lot of alcohol either, because that'll obviously be a, you know, affect our liver in a negative way. And then making sure your gut bacteria is good and, you know, being careful with any antibacterial products that you don't need, because that can kill your microbiome off as well. Of course, right now, washing hands and using hand sanitizers, but we're realizing you don't need that triclosan, which could actually throw off the gut bacteria, the microbiome as well. So that could have contributed to the increase in weight gain over time. And Tony, did you want to talk about just some things like, you know, going through perimenopause or after having Frankie that you found to be beneficial in terms of maintaining your weight?
Well, definitely. I mean, keeping an eye on blood sugar balance, stress, and sleep, super, super key. And for me personally, sleep is always the top of my list, because I know if I'm not getting a good night's sleep, then I'm going to be, you know, cranky and crabby and low energy the next day. And yeah, more likely to kind of reach for any cookies that Davin leaves on the counter, or again, just not really, you know, starting the day off right with, you know, a nice balanced breakfast with, you know, some protein and healthy fats. Sometimes I'm not making the best decisions when I don't have a great sleep.
I know it's hard to, right? That like chocolate is calling your name and saying, Lisa, Tony, come eat me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, I agree with the sleep piece. Like if I'm not getting enough or good quality, I will crave more of those sugars. I'll be more lethargic and want more carbohydrates. And for me, just switching my exercise routine as I've gotten older. So I used to be more into running. I didn't do like super long distances, but that was like a staple of my workout, but I've really worked towards more strength training, using my body weight, you know, maybe some low impact, high intensity interval training so I don't hurt my joints, as well as just using free weights and my body weight. That's really helped to support my metabolism. And then I have talked about having an underfunctioning thyroid. So that was picked up by my naturopathic doctor, and, you know, correcting that has really helped with my energy and metabolism as well. So the importance of testing, I think, is really key. And next episode, we'll talk more about behaviors on what you can do on a regular basis to balance these hormones and support weight loss. But we really wanted to get into the science behind what's going on and to let you know it's not, as Dr. Tony said, not just calories in versus calories out. It's what we eat, when we eat it, even how we eat it, if we're in a relaxed state or not, will impact our ability to lose weight. So we're all in this together. It's fairly common as hormones shift, but it doesn't mean you have to gain that 5 to 10 pounds every year, you know, starting at age 40 or whatever it is. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So let's switch some gears here, Lisa. And I heard you have a super mom moment for this week.
Maybe I should call it a super mom week. Well, there was moments of stress and almost breakdown, and you know, that's okay. But last week, Stuart was at home all week. Again, he is this week. His preschool's closed, so it's kind of indefinite right now. And Pete and I have worked out a bit of a schedule in terms of when he's working, when I'm working. And right now I'm with Stuart most of the time during the day. So I've come up with kind of a schedule, a routine to keep him busy. So, you know, we'll get up, we'll make breakfast together. We might bake something or make some food, and I'll try to get him to help clean up the dishes after. I'll wash all the breakable ones, and then I'll let him wash the ones that, you know, aren't going to break into a million pieces. And then we'll try to do some sort of craft, unless he's getting really antsy, or we'll go out for some outdoor time in the backyard and maybe garden, or he'll ride his little balance bike around. But I'm trying to come up with a bit of a routine for him, because at preschool they have, you know, pretty regular schedule in terms of reading and learning and crafting and all of that. So and it's still a work in progress, and I should probably write out a schedule, but at least I have found some interesting activities that he seems to enjoy to keep him busy and then to give us some structure in the day. So staying sane as much as possible, and my super mom moment, yeah, just keeping the little one busy and then trying to fit in work where I can, getting up early in the morning, for example, before he's up to do a couple of hours of work.
Well, good for you, Lisa. You're definitely a super mom. And I think there's a lot of other super moms out there right now in the same boat too.
Yeah, it's, everyone's trying to figure it out. So, and we only have one. So to all you moms out there that have more than one and are trying to juggle this, I really, you know, shouldn't complain. Hats off to you, because that's really intense.
Cheers to all you moms with more than one kid out there.
Or single moms or whatever it is. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Tony, I know you've been doing a great job, but, you know, it's been a while. Let's talk about, has there been any mama mess up? You know, can you reach really deep for one?
Yeah, I could reach really deep for one, and I had almost no problem pulling out this gem that happened the other day. You know, I usually get Frankie in the morning, get her dressed and everything. And the other day, you know, I thought, okay, here's some leggings, here's a little dress, let's just put them on, no problem. And I didn't think really at the time about putting her in an undershirt, especially a onesie. So around lunchtime, she decided that was a good time to have a poo and then stick her hand in her pants. Aww. Into her diaper. So yeah, a little bit of a mess up, and especially a bit of a mom mess up, because I wasn't even the one who had to deal with it. So I'm sorry for doing that to you.
Well, I'm sure that won't happen again, right? It's hard to know the age when they're going to stop doing that. So you'll get there eventually.
But I made sure to put her in an undershirt onesie today.
Yay, no mess. I know the fascination with putting their hands in their diaper. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Where does
right.
that come from? But yeah. And Tony, what's been a mom must have for you, you know, during this time of isolation, of distancing? Is there something that's been helping you that
absolutely
out?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to kind of dealing with the stress of everything that's going on, I've found that connecting online has been really key. And you know, I love music, I love dancing, I love the online concerts that have been happening, but also what has been a really huge touchstone for me is a women's group that's was started here in Calgary, and is has different different centers around Western Canada. It's a group called Camp Hoo Ha, and the organizers put on a online event on Friday night. It was a wine ed event. So it was just a really lovely adult social activity where, you know, we all got together, had a glass of wine, learned about how to drink it, and all of the characteristics of our wine, you know, in the comfort of our homes, so that we were, you know, physically distant, but we were really socially connected. It really, you know, as women, what can really impact and reduce our stress and reduce our cortisol is that idea of tending and befriending. So actually really getting together and connecting so that we know that we're in it together, we're not alone. That was just really important for me. It's definitely my mama must have for the foreseeable future. So thank you, Camp Hoo-Ha.
I love that it was a wine tasting too. So you're actually doing an activity, you know, connecting, talking about something other than what's going on and focusing on that. So I love that. And I think so many people are organizing online, you know, socials. They might be playing games together online. We even had a virtual play date for Stuart this morning with some of his preschool friends. So really take advantage of technology to connect you. And like Dr. Tony said, to tend and befriend so we can really help to lower our stress hormones, sleep better, and feel better overall.
Absolutely. So thank you, you perimenopausal mamas. Thanks for joining us today. If you have any comments or suggestions or questions, please reach out. Visit our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. We have our show notes there. Connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. We'd really love for you to subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode and the other episodes that are available. Please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too.
Stay healthy, everyone. Talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye.